We find Father is a very simple word. Ab is supposed to be one of the first words a baby can speak. Ab, A-B. The Aramaic form of Ab is Abba, which has become common in modern Hebrew as the word that the Israel children used for daddy. Abba, Abba, Father. Jesus applied this toddler's word to his divine Father in Mark 14:36. We find it in the Holy Spirit where Jesus was talking about Abba, Father, if this take this cup from me type of a thing, but Abba. And then we find that the Holy Spirit teaches us to call God Abba, Romans 8:15. So it's interesting to find that that's one of the simplest and earliest words, maybe, that of a baby, Ab, will pronounce. And we do have a wonderful Heavenly Father. I'm glad TJ brought up about a father for those that are fatherless and there for those that are widowed and orphaned and whatnot, that there is a Father, and He's a much grander Father even than those of us upon this earth, because He's God. And so that's an encouragement, and that should be for us to understand this. And that today is Father's Day, and we got just a little bit of a Father's Day message here. What I want to look at, and I believe touch upon, is the reminders for staying on God's path for us, the Father. I'm going to give it as examples of things in the natural, because you'll find after the service today that you'll get a bag for the guys, for the fathers here, of these instruments in them so that you can take them and reflect upon them, okay? And so the first thing you're going to find, or one of the things you're going to find in there, is that of a golf tee. That ought to, no, and Chris, I think you're saying maybe later on, if the weather holds, you're going golfing, aren't you? So that's awesome. Golf tee, because aiming to follow God's ways strengthens your family. Aiming to follow God's ways strengthens your family. Our families have many outside forces that can and will influence them. There's a battle that's raging in the spirit world, and it's over the control of especially our kids. I would at least trust and believe in God's word and stand on His word over my family and my children rather than just throw up my hands and hope that everything just turns out well, or believe that, well, they'll learn something from the world that will get them through life. And they won't learn anything from this world except the bad things, the things that won't sustain life. And we find in Proverbs 22:6 just a few scriptures that helps tie some of these things in. And it talks about, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. To train up a child in the way that he should go. To train, that means to direct the growth of, like that of a plant, directing the plant growth. But train up a child to direct the growth of, usually by bending, and you're thinking of a plant type situation, by bending or pruning or tying. To form by instruction, to discipline, to teach the skills needed to do something. That's training up a child. And in the Amplified, I think it would talk about that of bend, like a bend and bending them. And we are, as you train up, as fathers train up their children, they should be pruning them, nurturing them, developing them, helping them grow in the right direction. And the right direction is growing with a relationship with Jesus Christ. The right direction is having a relationship with God the Father. Because I know I have failed my kids in many ways, but I know that my Heavenly Father will not fail them once. Amen. And as much as we try to be so well and good and do our best, there are just some things that we don't always do the greatest. But God is there, and God, as our Father in heaven, He loves us, and He loves them. And so above all, if we can keep that thought and train up our children as fathers, you know, if there's a home that's got the father and mother, and it's, I can't think what I want to call it now, but you got the mom and the dad there, that's just great. And what's also great, though, is when a home doesn't have that dynamic, God is there too for that as well. So we don't have to give up on that. It's just that if there is a man in the house, there is some importance placed upon him to be the head of that house and to train up his children, to be there for his wife, to be that the person in charge, so to speak, not charge, but yes, in charge of the growth of that family and the protection of that family and how that family is going to respond. So as we train up that child in the way he goes, we're going to direct the growth of him. We're going to teach him skills that is going to be needed. We're going to have to discipline them. Proverbs 22:6 in the Living says, "Teach a child to choose the right path, and when he is older, he will remain upon it." And that's what it's about is, you know, we get these kids when they're young and in their formulative years. We find out that at the age of two or three, a lot of things have already been formulated in them, I think. And, you know, and then the 7 and 8 year old, they're still formulating some things, but not as grand as they are way early on in their lifespan as they're beginning to just take things in. I didn't look all this up to know for sure exactly, but I do know that they say that early age is when a lot of things are developed and their makeup is being made right then and what they're receiving. But if we teach that child to choose that right path, he will remain upon it. Now, we know that after a while the children have choices and they will be making those choices, and all we can hope and pray is that as we had the care of them up to a certain age, that we exemplified as best as we could. And some of us got a late start like I did in my Christian walk with my kids. They were mostly almost all out of the house or already in the teenage years just about, or late, yeah, probably in the teenage years that maybe I really got a hold of God. But you know what's exciting about God is he can make a quick work. And he can redeem those times. He can redeem these things that we've erred in and bring it all around to where there was still hope. And thank God for that. So praise God. But we want them to remain on that path. And if they don't, we trust and pray that we can say, Lord, draw them back to that path. You know, we've trained them, we've taught them, and now, Lord, we just pray that the Spirit of God would be there upon them. So that's the golf tee. We want to make sure that we are aiming to follow God's ways to strengthen our family. I've got it somewhere down here, and maybe we'll get to it. A paperclip. What's a paperclip about? Because your faith and your devotion hold your family together. Families need to be held together today more than any days. But boy, I tell you, for where we're at in society and the things, and we just keep hammering that thing all the time. It seems like every service seems like with where we're at in this society. But it's where we're at with this society. It's where we're at with this morality and the things that are going on in this life. But paperclip, because of your faith and devotion. I got some feedback coming up here. Men, you know that your family is not the same as your wife. But they take the One, two. If I need to, I'll stay up here. I'd rather be down on the floor. We have to kind of work on that. We used to work pretty good down there. Oh, am I on? What am I on? I'm on God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hey, thank you. So what we got here, paperclip says, men, do you know that your family looks to you as how to handle life situations? The children. Look to Dad. How is he going to respond to this? Even your wife, you know, will be looking at how is Dad going to respond to this? How is he going to handle this? So we are looking and we're being watched. And even God, our Heavenly Father, is watching us. How are you going to handle this, Tim? This situation, this whatever it might be. But it says that when things seem to be at their bleakest, your wife, and for sure your kids, will look to Dad for assurance that everything will be okay. They will look at you for answers to the problem at hand. Because why? Because they look at Dad as Dad will fix it. Dad is the man of the house. He's the protector. He's there to do whatever. And that's what dads were about. That's what fathers are about. But our Heavenly Father is there all the way and all the time for us, and He's there, and He takes care of things for us, and He protects us. Amen. So, and He fixes things for us. As I turn them over to Him saying, Lord, I can't do it. I don't know how this is going to work. I just turn it back to You and ask You to have Your way. And my Heavenly Father will do that. Devotion. When we look at that word, it says this. It's the fact or the state of being strongly dedicated and loyal. Steadfastness. Enthusiasm. So we look at this to where we say, you know, the paperclip, because of your faith, your devotion, holding your family together. The family is looking for that. And so as we look at that of devotion, being strong, being dedicated, being loyal, being steadfast, and having enthusiasm. That's our dads. That's our fathers in our homes. We need to be that because kids are watching. Our wives are watching. And, you know, it's not to say that the dads, it's just them and only them, but it's there's that nucleus there that God put from the very foundation of this earth, of the man in the house. And then being alone wasn't good. And He created a helpmate. But we find this, Paul is sharing about faith with those in Rome. And it says in Romans 1, 11 through 12, for I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts so that you may be established. And in verse 12, that is that I may be encouraged together with you by what? The mutual faith both of you and me. And so remember, because your faith and devotion hold your family together, people, your kids, your family, they're going to be watching you. They're going to see how do you handle these situations. And I've got to say, early on in my life, I probably didn't handle things very well with how I, you know, would get upset about stuff, or I didn't understand this, oh, forget this, and whatever it might be. But as I got connected to God and as I began to learn more of my Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ in my life, I learned that, you know, some of these things, you just don't sweat the small things. It's just stuff. It's just this. This soon will pass. It's not the important thing. Life is not hedged on this particular thing, whatever it might be. You know, there's bigger fish to fry, so to speak, or whatever the case might be out there. But we just realize and we just need to know that how are you handling your faith? How do your family, how do your kids watch how when something happens, do you go around upset and throwing the, you know, a tantrum and all this, or do you just say, well, I don't know how this is going to work out, but God has our back. God will take care of it. God will give us wisdom. God will give us an answer. He will bring someone. He will do it. God will do it. Hallelujah. So, as Paul was sharing in Romans, talking about, you know, that I may be encouraged together with you by mutual faith, your mutual faith, even as a mutual faith as a husband and wife, develops a strong build within the family. You know, and so, and the one good thing about it is maybe one of the spouses has stronger faith than the other, whatever the case might be, but the one thing about with God is God can take a little bit of something and amplify it and magnify it to meet the need over and above. Little is much when God is in it. Your faith, even though your faith might be a little, it is much with God in it as God develops and grows in your life. And as a father, that's what we're all doing. Even us dads at 30 or 25 or 18, 22, whatever age we are as dads and we have a family, you know, we're still growing and developing. Isn't that great? Yeah, it's awesome. It's amazing that I go get my hair cut and it still grows out again a month or two later. Hallelujah. May not be growing out as thick as it used to be or as blonde as it used to be, but it's still in there. My roots are still doing something in my skull, man. They're still, you know. That's what you, yeah, well, let's don't go there, but it's just growing. So that means even our life, God is still moving in our lives no matter what age you are. Our Heavenly Father is working in us. He's working in you today, Dad, to be the dad that you should be. And if you recognize something that you're not, and you know it's something that God wants, then ask Him to help you, amen. When you know what God would like for you to do and you're not doing it, ask Him to help you. Ask Him to give you some direction. Ask Him to bring somebody along that may be able to be a mentor to you. I don't know. But God will do those things. But the kids and the family, they want to see your devotion. They want to see how dedicated you are, how loyal you are. They also want to see your faith and how faithful you are. next thing is, ooh, this is getting good now, because the other was like golf tee and a paperclip. This next one you're going to get in your bag, guys, is a Tootsie Roll. Man, why is that? Because you want to be a great role model for your children. Tootsie Roll. Want to be a role model. Guess what? And this is where I was coming down to. Someone is watching you, Dad. And they're going to copy you to a T. For the most part, you would not even catch that their little eyes are recording your actions, your mannerisms. Their ears, they're recording your language. You're being shadowed. It's like they would call it in the workplace today, like job shadowing. With your kids, you know what it's going to be called? Life shadowing. How do you handle yourself? How do you respond to things? Children are picking up on that. Children are watching that. We see that in today, and we see that in society and homes and things of that nature. You know, basically, if kids see good home, chances are they're going to emulate a good home on their side of the thing. If children see a bad home, children will emulate a bad home on this other side of the fence where they're at too. It's just going to be there. It's just gonna, unless they make a conscious effort to say, I don't want to be that way. I want to do this. And you can do that, amen. It's not that, oh, well, throw up your hands like, well, that's the way it is. That's, you know, they came from a bad home. They're going to have a bad home, and it's just going to keep going. Now, there's a lot of those things that are happening out there, a lot of generational things, and we see that in society. And you can look at a lot of reports and all that that show one thing after another as far as how these families just, my dad did this, I did this, and blah, 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 blah. But you don't have to stay in that cycle. One thing, and I've shared before quickly, is that I just made it. It's not that I grew up in a home that was bad and you know, mean and all that, but I never really saw my mom and dad show affection of love with one another in front of us or around the kids. And for some whatever reason, that struck me. And I said, well, you know what, Tim? When I get married, I'm going to make a conscious effort that I'm going to show my kids that I love my wife. I'm going to show my kids that I love their mom. And how do I do that? You hug them. You come up behind them when they're cooking supper and you give them a hug. You squeeze, you know, their arm. You put, you know, you pat them. Whatever. Boy, you do that and your kids go, oh, no, Dad. Oh, that's so gross. Oh, man. It's like football players do it when they close, you know. What's so bad about that? Oh, man. But, you know, anytime I heard my kids say things like that when they see us hugging and kissing when she was cooking supper or whatever, inside, I said, I'm on the right path. Why is that? Because my kids were noticing. And that's what made me to write this, that your kids are watching you, good or bad. Fathers and husbands, however you're handling things, kids are watching that. Now, what happens, you know, even as we get into that realm of grandfathers? We got to even watch that. Because these grandkids are going to be watching their grandfathers. They're going to be watching their grandmas. How are they handling things, you know? They're going to be looking at mom and dad as a filter. Then they're going to be looking at, you know, the grandma and grandpas as a filter. And so we need to be walking these things out. Just like in our Christian walk, we need to be walking with the love and the affection and being that of God to those around us. In our home life and our families, we've got to be emulating those things for our kids. And then when we're blessed to even have grandkids, that's great. Awesome to have family times now where, you know, your family comes together, and it used to be, you know, it used to start out just me and my wife. Then it got to be me and my wife and a child, me and my wife and a child, you know, it started growing, and have one child, two, three, four, whatever the case might be, and that's awesome. And then they go off and do their thing, and you're saying, Lord, be with them and bless them, and Lord, I just pray they follow you, and I know you got a wonderful plan for them, and just, Lord, just help them out, you know, and just be there. And then they start having children, and then the children come with their grandchildren, and you sit there sometimes at a holiday time or Thanksgiving or Christmas, and sometimes there's not, you don't need any more. You don't need anything else. You don't need a present. You don't need a card. You can just sit there and say, Lord, what a blessing. It's a blessing to see kids. It's a blessing to see your family grow. It's just wonderful to see these things develop, you know. And it's not always easy, and I'm, you know, life is not the same for all of us, and we all go through situations, and some things have been splintered and fractured and broken apart, and I'm sorry for that. But if that has happened in your life today as a father, and even thinking back as Mother's Day, remember and know you do have a Heavenly Father that loves you, cares for you, and will take care of you. So you're not alone, as much as sometimes you think you are. Because he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll always be there, he's saying. So I count that as strength, that I'm never alone. And you too are never alone. Amen? So let's look at this. The kids are job shadowing you, and they're life shadowing you, really. Just listen as the world tells them about different people in their life, like role models. We hear that out there about sports figures. You know, the sports figures are out there, and it's like, you know, oh, you know, kids want to emulate that person in the sports. They want to emulate that Hollywood star. They want to emulate that rock star, you know. Kids are out there, and they're looking for somebody they want to be like, amen. Well, why can't they be like their dad? Why can't they be like their family or their, you know, their mom or their dad or whatever the case might be, and see great role models? And that's what we're talking about, being a Tootsie Roll. Be a role model to your kids and to your family. Because I'm telling you, there's a lot of these kids out there that are following the role models of some of these athletes and people out there in high profile. And it's not good. There's a lot of people out there, these young kids are hooking up to these bands and these music things and all this stuff, and they want to be like this, and I want to be like that. They start looking like them. They start dressing like them. They start acting like them, you know, because they want to be like somebody. And when they're like that, let them be like mom or dad, or let them be that good example that you want to give them. And as a father, and this is Father's Day, we want to do that because they want to look for something that they can hold on to. And I said, you know, what was that, you know, we probably last year, and every time Father's Day comes up, it's, I don't know who sang it, but that guy that, you know, the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man in the moon. Pardon? Okay, when are you coming home, Dad? I don't know, son, but we'll get together then. Well, then the table is turned. And then the son comes home, and the father says, hey, son, let's get together. The father, oh, Dad, can I have the borrow the car keys? See you later. Can I have them, please? The kid's got his own life. He's doing his own thing. And the father sends at the end of the song saying, well, my kid, he's just like me. Yeah, my son, he's just like me. They're watching us. And they're learning. And they're recording. Jesus talks about this. Whoever causes one of these little ones, being that role model, but Jesus talks about this, 18:6. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better off for him to have a millstone hung around his neck and be drowned in the depth of the sea. Amplified in Matthew 18:5-6. And whoever receives and accepts and welcomes one little child like this for my sake and my name receives, accepts, and welcomes me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in and acknowledge and cleaves to me to stumble and to sin, that's what stumbling is, sinning, that is, who entices him or hinders him to right conduct or thought, it would be better or more expedient and profitable or advantageous for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and thrown into the sea. Jesus is talking with his disciples and warning them about causing others to stumble, others to sin. Fathers, be cautious that you don't cause your children to stumble because of your actions, because of what you do or don't do. They're watching you. Next thing is going to be a peppermint patty. Well, that sounds good. That usually comes after like a Italian dinner at Olive Garden, a little peppermint. But this is like a peppermint patty because your strong commitment, I-M-T, commitment to your church makes a difference in your community. I've always said this, I'm not sure you guys know that. If we have strong homes, and those strong homes attend church, you will have a strong church. Now, if you've got strong homes in a community, you will have a strong community with values and things. You'll have a strong church with values and things. You will find that it's a building block to where everything begins to kind of hit on all eight cylinders or whatever, maybe four cylinders now because we've got to have gas efficiency. Four cylinders, eight cylinders, whatever, of what God wants and how God wants things to be done. But we find that Hebrews 10:24-25, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The more the day is approaching, we're getting closer to the return of Christ. It's just kind of a weird thing, because the closer we're getting to the day of his return, we're finding a lot of vacancies in our churches. And his word is just the opposite. It's saying, come and don't forsake your self-assembling, because there's going to be even more treacherous times out there. It's going to grow really dark out there. My goodness, this past week with what's going on over in Iraq and all those things happening, and the communities being overtaken by this radical group and all, and I'm reading articles of they're just going in and slaughtering and shooting Christians. Children, men, women, kids, just shooting them because of a Christian faith or their Christian community that felt safe there at the time, and this group has just come in. They probably don't even ask them twice. They probably just, you're a Christian, boom, 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 boom. It's growing darker and darker out there, guys. But his word tells us, don't forsake assembling together. You will find that committing to God your life, your daily walk, and all that will end up in the result of a life of success. If we continue to stay strong with God, we will have success. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Now, if I look at this, committing your works would be committing your actions. New Living Testament says actions where it says works. So commit your actions to the Lord. Fathers, commit your actions to the Lord. And your thoughts will be established. Or they will be succeeding. Or they will be successful. We've got to realize and we've got to teach our kids that your commitment to God, first of all, will create success for you. That God will handle your situations. God will be your provider. God will take care of the things that you need. Amen. Whether it's physical, spiritually, mentally, all these things, God will provide these things and take care of those things for us. Amen. So you got to be committed. You've got to commit your life. And fathers, you've got to commit your life. You've got to commit to the Heavenly Father that I want to be an example to my earthly kids that you have graced me with, that you have placed in my care, God. And I want to give them as much love and examples of what needs to be here like you would like for me to do, Lord. And as a father, I need help in that. I want to do it the right way. I want to redeem the times that I've lost, Lord, so that maybe it will make a difference now. And don't give up. And that's the thing that we want to tell fathers is don't give up. Even though you might say, well, I failed in this, I failed in that, I could have done better than this. Oh, well, it's all gone, and what can I do now? I would say don't give up and keep working, and now that you know some things, just start developing them. God will give you that opportunity. Amen. It could be even, I tell you, sometimes it could be those around you that maybe are not your blood relatives, so to speak, but they're still kids, and they're looking for somebody to look up to. Amen. That's why we got homes that are bad, and that's why gangs are flourishing. Families with problems with the gangs out there that are fulfilling the call of the family. And especially single parent families where it's the female, just the mom. And the kids are looking for that male factor there. There is something, as much as society wants to say that, two females and all that can raise a child and they'll be just well and everything's good, that ain't going to work because there's something built up in us that we need nurturing from a female, the feminine side, and we need nurturing from the masculine, male side throughout our informative years to develop into what God wants us to develop into. And so we find these homes that have only got like a single parent, and generally it's the mother because the father, whatever, turns out to be a dirt bag and leaves the home and leaves these kids because they don't want responsibility or they think life is better on the other side of the fence or they're chasing whatever. And so they have these children and they leave them. Now the mother is there to have to do the impossible almost, raise them. But now God is the father to those that are fatherless. So we can't discount that, but it's a lot harder. And we find that these families are, these boys, are, especially the guys, are finding the male figure out on the street corner selling drugs. And then when they're selling the drugs, they're saying, hey, and this, I had this given to me this past week or two back. I was at a pastor's thing, and somebody was sharing about the violence and all in the area. And they were saying how one of their children had developed, and this person didn't even know it. She was a Christian, thought everything was well in the house, had several kids, and this one, all of a sudden, she didn't realize that he was involved in a gang until he had come home beaten up, bloody, left for dead. It wasn't then until she found out that her son that she thought around the house was fine and yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, thank you and all that, was dealing drugs, not just taking drugs and all that, but he was dealing them and sending them out. He had people working for him. And then the other side of that is she had a son that turned out to be a police officer. How's all that happen? Came out of the same, genes and all that. But it's just whatever that person is gravitating towards and what they're looking for. So it's those personal choices, it's those personal things they're doing. But when they're young, it's kind of hard for them to choose the right thing, don't you think? They're young. They're innocent. They're just gravitating for something. So we've had a major, major breakdown of the family unit in our lifetime. From the 50s on, it just seems like it's gone downhill. From the 70s, 75, 80s, it's really gone. Now, the 90s and things, it's just like we've got families that are just so separated and divided out there, and so many things happen. And as a church, we need to pray for our families in the community. We need to lift them up, and we need to lift up moms. We need to lift up dads. We need to lift up the moms and dads that we could have a strong family unit, amen? Because with a strong family unit, a lot of this other stuff, you won't need a lot of social skill or social helps out there. And that's what's happened is we've relinquished the control and the teaching and the nurturing and the development of our children and our families because of all this brokenness that these families are living in, and it happens. And we've got to figure out how to fix it. Well, I can only understand one way of how to fix it. You have to come back to God. You got to get God into that family. You've got to get them to realize, even if it's a single parent, a single father, a single mother, that they can't go it alone. Even as a husband and wife, in reality, you can't go it alone. You still need God in a mom and dad family. You need God really bad in a good way, in a bad way. Well, I don't know, in a much needed way, even in a single parent home. But God is God, and God is there for that, amen. Hallelujah. But as a church, we've got to be a supportive of that. We've got to be encouragement. We've got to try to give them helps and thoughts and direction and prayer. If nothing else, prayer to help these families. To get our families back in order of what God wants them to be. Because your strong commitment to church makes a difference in your community. And one of the second to the last things you're going to get would be what they call a Charleston Chew. That was hard to find. Charleston Chew, what is that? Had to go online. But we found it in town. Because choosing, choosing, you're chewing, but you're choosing to teach your child or your children about God will guide them throughout life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even though you don't think the kids are listening, you drop in nuggets here and nuggets there, and thank God, maybe 20 years, 25 years later, the child, or maybe, you put a time frame on, the child will come back and say this, and this about a situation, and it's like, wow, I didn't think you were listening. Or they'll come back saying, Mom or Dad, you were right, or I should have done this. I heard you that way, but I thought I could do this, and now I know you were right. And that's not to say, high-five me, and I'm the dad, and I'm the mom, or whatever, that I got all the answers, but it's like, well, I'm glad you finally learned. But they choose because you're choosing to teach your children about God. Be sure to share with your children on how God has been with you on your life's journey. Talk about personal testimonies to share with people of trying to get the faith out there, but share with your kids that maybe in the beginning you thought you could handle it on your own, that you could be your own man, so to speak, that maybe after seeing the failure of what you thought you tried, you would try God's way and decide, well, hey, God's way, and you would come upon success in life that is sure better than the one that you came out of, the life you left behind. And now your life is much better because of somebody along your path, Dad. Maybe it was a role model. Maybe they helped you choose some things. Maybe they threw some things out there for you to decide upon. Joshua gives us some great advice as he is sharing about the journey the Israelites had been on and how now they had crossed over into this promised land. Be careful of who they serve, but to be careful of who they serve. He lays out a choice for them in Joshua 24, 14 to 15. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord, Joshua is saying. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river are the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose. We all are going to choose. Your children are going to choose. Your children are going to choose the mate that they're going to marry. They're going to choose where they're going to live. They're going to even choose possibly the job that they want. There's a lot of choices and things that we're going to choose out there. But we got to let them know, and we got to let them be aware, and we got to let them understand that you've also got to choose, really, what God are you going to serve? The God of this world or the God of heaven? Because you're going to serve one or the other. You're not going to go through this life generically through here without either bringing something to the God of Satan of this world or serving God in the ultimate areas of kingdom of heaven and being a light in this dark place. I know a lot of people think they're their own man. Nobody's telling me what to do. I can handle it. Nobody's going to tell me this and that. They don't understand that they're being lied and deceived already because the devil's already in them directing their life, and they don't realize it. Because they got pride that I'm the man. I can do it. Nobody's telling me. You're either serving the devil or you're either serving God. But as a father, we need to make sure that we're letting our children know that you've got to make a choice. I can't make it for you. I can leave an example in my life as best as I can, you know, and try all I can to show the benefits of God and my trust in God and share things about God and God was there even when I failed, and God was there even when I didn't do what I should have done as a dad. Whatever the case might be, but my God, my Father, my Abba in heaven loves me so much. And the last thing you'll get is the mini Nestle Crunch Bar. Man, I'm getting hungry. I should have had these up here as an example. I could have eaten each one as I shared about it. But that might have been kind of hard to talk with a Tootsie Roll in your mouth, because Tootsie Rolls kind of go... Charles and Chew, yeah. I'll be with you in about 20 minutes. You can never tell or share enough of how God has helped you. You can never tell or share enough of how God has helped you. Contagious Christian. You can be a contagious Christian. You can never give enough honor and glory to God. Jesus said all that he does and says is that from the Father, and what he does is to bring honor and glory to God. His Heavenly Father, amen. Abba Father. And that's what we need to be about. So you can never tell or share enough of how God has helped you, how God has been there for you, how if it hadn't been for God, you don't know where you would be in life at this time. Even if we've gone through some scrapes, even if we've gone through some problems. I've known people in the past that lovely couple and an older couple and all and had a company and this, that, and the other, but they even went through like bankruptcy and lost a lot and lost this and lost that. But then years later, God had brought them across my path and our paths crossed, and to see where they were at and how they loved the Lord, how they served the Lord. Things were fine. Things were happening okay. But I'm sure in the battle, so to speak, or when all that financial stuff was going on, they were probably just like at wit's end. I don't know. I didn't know them back then. But I saw the end result of their faith and their trust in God, and I'm sure the boat was rocking and all, and they were having some difficulties, but you know, they stayed in that boat and said, it's okay. Maybe they went back to sleep, just like Jesus was when that boat was rocking, because he knew the Heavenly Father was there. I don't know. But see, those things there, that's an example. That's like that example, and that's the thing that we're watching. Even as Christians, we learn and we watch from those in the church. We come to church and we hear someone's testimony, or we hook up with somebody in familiarity of friendships or the men's group or whatever the case might be, and we listen to their life and we listen to what they've come from and through and all this and what they have struggled with and how they battled whatever, and yet they came through victorious, and now they're saying, but now it's this way, and now God has more of my life, and God has more of this in me. But it wasn't always that way. But that's that sharing how God has helped you. Because life is sweet when you're surrounded by God's love. Romans 5, 6 and 8 says, "For we were still without strength. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, that while we, you, me, us, all were sinners, Christ died for us." The love that Abba Father has for you, for me. Wow. Ephesians 2, 4 to 7. "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. But God, who was rich in mercy, because of God's great love." Well, if we're emulating God, don't you think we ought to be emulating love? If we want to be God, and not be God, so to speak, but we want to let people see God through us, we're the only Bible a lot of people are going to read. You know, our kids are watching us, they're paying attention to us, they're listening to us, they're recording us, all this type of stuff, and people around us. And as fathers, we want to do the right thing. Well, we need to show love. We need to show forgiveness. We need to show what Abba Father would be doing in a situation like that. Amen. I mean, you talk about somebody that has just been beat up, kicked on, practically spat upon, and all that. Well, Jesus was, wasn't he? All of that he was. Beard plucked out, all these things he did for us, and he didn't have to do that. He could have fought it, and he didn't have to fight it. He could have just said, "Hey, angels, send a legion right here." But no, because of God's love for us. And so as we go through things, and we think it's difficult and all that, you know, even to this day, God is, you know, my goodness. The world out there is just coming down on him all the time. Christianity, churches, all these things. Jesus, all these things. They're, you know, just getting more intense. But my God can handle it all. He's been handling that from day one already, as far as all those things coming against him. And, you know, I get upset only because I love my Abba Father. I love God. And I hate for him to have to take these blows, these insinuations, these doubts that he's there, that, oh, there's no God, it was just an expansion of time and gases blew up and we're all here. And, you know, these people are foolishness, you know. But I know, and I counted one day, that I know that it says every knee will bow and every tongue confess one day. That even these that are upon this earth today doubting and saying there is no God, that I know in my heart of hearts that one day they're going to stand before him. I don't need to judge them. He's going to judge them and he'll take care of them. But I just need to be here and I need to pray for them and I need to love them and I need to encourage them and I need to not give up on them. And I got to be able to say, "Lord, I'm just going to lift these people up. They may be as far from Christianity as, I don't know, that bear in Illinois that should be up north. I don't know, you know." How the bear got down there and said, "Just leave him alone and he'll maybe meander up northern, up into Wisconsin, and, you know, find a mate up there and all that. He'll just stay out of his way, or his way or her way. I don't know. Who gets close enough to a bear to find out who's what?" But I know that I know that all I've got to do is do these things and show the love of God. And when I can't show the love of God, I've got to be willing to say, "God, I need to show the love of you. So help me with that." Just let people see you in me. I don't want to judge them. I don't want to say bad things, this and that and the other and all. I just want to give them encouragement. And people need encouragement. And my God is there. Remember, what is Abba? The easiest, the first word that babies say and all that they say, Abba, Abba, Abba. Abba, Abba, Father. That A.B. talks about being like Abraham. Father of all nations. All these things, Abba. You start looking at this, it's kind of interesting. But anyway, let's stand up as we prepare to leave and